Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Samach. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the Mishnah on Daf Samach, the fifth wide line, you will notice in the Mishnah a couple of diamonds, markings. These highlight cases that the Mishnah will feature as we go along. Let us now start the Mishnah. Yotzu Shnayim Keachas. Mona Osam Shnayim. If two animals emerge from the narrow passageway, as we are counting toward the number 10, don't forget, Maiser Behemo, which is the topic of our perek, involves counting the newborn animals of that particular year, or there's a Goren, it could be, we're talking about the subdivision of the year that we've spoken about during our previous Shiurim. But when the counting takes place, we're expecting individual animals to emerge, each one of which we count, 1, 2, 3, until we get to 10. In this case, the Mishnah is featuring, two came out at once. So the Mishnah says, you count them as two, even though at one exit point, as they emerged, two came out at once, you count them as two animals, one and two. Monon Echod, if he counted them as simply one, when the third animal comes out, he's going to be referring to it as two. When the tenth animal comes out, he's going to be calling it nine. So that, in effect, when he was saying nine, the tenth animal had come out. So the Mishnah says, Chi Vasiri Mikukolin. There is a type of mess up over here, because when you have what you think is the ninth animal, you really have the tenth animal. If we look in the Rashi on the Mishnah, Chi Vasimiku Kolin, Kloimar, Oiso Shekoro Hu Chi, the one he called nine, Dainu Asiri. That's really the tenth animal. The Oiso Shekoro Hu Asiri, the one he called ten, Dainu Achadosor. That's really the 11th animal. Oindin Lekalkola. They are standing there and destined for mess up. What does that mean? Shu Sovor Al Hachi, Shu Chulin. He thinks that nine is common, is mundane, v'alhu asiri shehu meiser, and he thinks that what he said is ten is meiser, which really isn't so, because what he said is ten is 11. V'im also came v'lo nimlach bebeisdin, if he did this and didn't check out the story in base, and he didn't check out what he did. He just was relying on his own numbering. Harein the Kukolin, Kidiktoni Seifa. They're messed up, as the Seifa reveals. Kora Lasiri Chi, Ula Chadosor Asiri, Hoasiri Meiser, Vachadosor Korev Shlomim. Later in the Mishnah, we get a case where there is a mess up in numbering, and it's described at greater length. Let us continue in the Mishnah. At this point, we see our first diamond, because the two sections of the Mishnah, if you will, with regard to how he numbers animals. This part of the Mishnah is not dealing anymore with two coming out at once, but an individual counting what happens when he gets to 9? And you'll see the first part, the first case that's featured here is Kora L'Chi Asiri L'Asiri Chi U'L'Chadoso Asiri. The next part of the Mishnah, or the next diamond, has him referring to 3 animals all as Asiri. He's going to refer to 9, 10, and 11, calling each one of them the same thing, Asiri. So the first set of examples or references we'll read now. Koro L'Chi'i Asiri. He referred to the 9th animal, 10. In other words, after he reached 8, the next animal to come out, he called 10. U'L'Asiri Chi'i. And when the actual 10th animal came out, he called it 9. U'L'Achadosor Asiri. And when the next animal came out, he called it, namely the 11th animal came out, he called it 10. Because just before that, he had referred to an animal as 9, so the next one, which in effect is the 11th animal, he calls it 10. What's the result? Shloshtan Mekudoshin. All 3 have a level of holiness to them. Not the same, but they are all considered holy. Hatshi'ine Chabamumo. The 9th animal to have emerged, that he happened to call 10, the rule with regard to that is, it's not brought as a sacrifice, but one cannot eat it while it's unblemished. It has to wait till a blemish develops, and only then will he be able to eat it. The Asiri, Meiser, the 10th animal to come out, which he happened to call 9, but it is going to be treated as the Meiser Behema, which is brought as a sacrifice, and a lot of other rules that apply only to Meiser Behema. The Achadosar, the 11th animal to have emerged, he happened to label as 10, Korev Shlomim, it is brought as a Korban Shlomim, V'Oise Tumura. And if you attempt to replicate its Kedusha onto another animal, it can take hold. And that replication of Kedusha in the Torah is called Tumura. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir has an opponent with regard to the issue of the ability of this number 11 animal that was called 10 to be a basis for Tumura. Rabbi Meir says it is. And Omar Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. V'chit yesh tumura oise tumura. Can it be that something that was already a non-original sanctity? In other words, the number 11 animal that we're saying gained sanctity, that's only a function of it having been referred to as something else. In other words, it was referred to as 10. It itself is not an original form of tumura, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but rather it itself is a type of derivative. It's not something that has inherent significance. If we look in the Rashi, the Ksav Yad, that means the lower part of the page, there's a separate Rashi commentary. You can see it's abbreviated Rashi Chof Tof Yud. In that section, there's a Dibur HaMaschil, the Chiyesh Tmuro Setmur, more than halfway down. Sover of Yehuda, the high Yud Aleph, that means the 11th animal, in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Havi Tmuro the high Yud, that it's considered a replicate Kedusha of number 10. Let's continue back in the Mishnah. Omru Mishum Rabbi Meir. So a response is forthcoming that was said in the name of Rabbi Meir. Ilu Hoyo Tumura Lo Hoyo Korev. If that number 11 animal that we are labeling as a Shlomim, everyone agrees that it's called a Shlomim, if you're going to call it a Tumura, meaning a derivative type sanctity, it wouldn't be offered on the Mizbeach. Because there's a rule, a special rule that applies to Meiser, as opposed to other sacrifices, the rule says that Tmuras Meiser is not offered on the Mizbeach. And apparently, everyone agrees with that. So if you hold that Tmuras Meiser is not offered on the Mizbeach, and yet number 11 is offered on the Mizbeach as a Korban Shlomim, it must be that you would not call it a Tmura. And therefore, it's not fair to call to say what Rabbi Yehuda said. Can a tmura make a tmura? The Mishnah continues. Kora lechi asiri, ula asiri asiri, ula chadasor asiri. Notice in each one of these is called by the same term. Ein achad osor mekudosh. The 11th animal that he happened to call 10 does not gain sanctity. This is in stark contrast with the case before where the 11th animal was called a shlomim. Zeh haklal. A rule is given. Kol shelo ne'kar shem asiri mimenu. If the 10th animal did not have its label removed from it, ein achadasor mekudosh. In this case, when we say label, we can say label or number or name meiser. In this case, 10 was called 10. So the shame meiser was not uprooted from it. If that happens to be the case, so then 11 doesn't have room, so to speak, to become sanctified. We now turn to the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, monon zugos zugois, kinterin kinterin. If he counted the animals by pairs, that means two animals. After every two animals, he called it one more. So, as two emerged, he called that one. As two more emerged, he called that two. As two more emerged, he called that three, and down the line. So that when he got to number 10, when he said 10, in effect, the 20th animal emerged. Another possibility, kinterin kinterin. Kinterin is an expression referring to hundreds. So groups of 100 would emerge, and he would call, after every group of 100, he would call it one. So by the time he reached 10, you realize then that was the he reached now 1,000 animals. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Leminyon hu kadosh. It becomes sanctified according to the number. Now that is a very vague comment. That brings us to our new topic. And under our topic heading, we have made reference to the issue of someone who counts in some form other than a unit counting. How is the Meiser Behema established? And we'll have a machlokas concerning that. And you can see through our markings, we've underlined Rav Mori and later on the line Rav Kahana. Rav Mori Omar, Leminyan Shaloi Hu Kadosh. The sanctity of animals is established by his reference to 10. If when he says 10, it happens to be the last group of 100 emerged, coming to equaling 1,000, so then that last group of 10 will all be sanctified. They'll be the Meiser Behema for the 900 animals that emerged prior. Rav Kahana Omar Leminyan Behemos Hu Kadosh. We are interested only in each 10th animal, regardless of what he was actually saying. As we continue in the Gemara, you will notice a volcano form. If you skim down the page of Gemara, you notice that it appears in two different directions, the narrow part facing up, and then later, the narrow part facing down. The reason for this is that the first volcano will be citing a Tanaic source that will serve as a support for the shita that said Laminyan Sheloi, and that happened to be Rav Mori. So we, on under our Mivneh heading, we indicate that this is Litovas Rav Mori. When the shape inverts, as you can see later, you will notice in the Gemara that at that point, after the quote of the source, it says Bishlam Alaman Damar Laminyan Behemos Hu Kadosh Shapir, and that in effect will be Litovas Rav Kahana. And of course, it represents a question on the other opinion. That is what we've noted under our Mivneh heading. So now we turn to the Gemara, Tanan. Yotsu, of course, that which appears in a frame is a Tanaic source. In this case, a quote from our Mishnah. Yotsu shnayim ke'achas. Two animals emerged at once, as one, or at together. Moina oison shnayim. You're supposed to count them and consider them two. Mon on echod, if he counts them as one. Chi'i va'asiri mikukolin. As we said, when he says, if he counted them as one, when he says nine, in effect, that's the tenth animal. And when he says ten, that's in effect the 11th animal. And mikukolin, the Mishnah said that there's a mess up over here. In other words, his counting took effect and is responsible for this mess up. Bishlamo lamadar minyan shaloi hu kodosh. If you say, like the shita that holds the minyan shaloi, like Rav Mori, that things are based on what he says, so then I understand how you can describe the mess up that sanctity took hold, but I just don't know which is which. That's mishum hochi havichu v'simu kolin ulasiri kokori lechi. The tenth animal he called nine. Ulachadasor asiri. The 11th animal he called ten. Elo lamandom or laminyan behemos hu kadosh. But if you say that sanctity is dependent upon the actual number of an animal, well then, the chi kokori lei, the ninth animal to actually come out is nine. Ulasiri asiri kokori lei, and the tenth animal that to emerge, even though he may have called it nine, that doesn't matter. It's the tenth. The expression, by the way, in the Gemara that says kokori lei, that he called it, Rashi points out that's lav dafka, doesn't mean he called it. But the Gemara is trying to say, why is there any mess up? The ninth animal to emerge is nine, the tenth animal to emerge is ten. And we're not going to pay any attention to what he actually said. And if that be the case, then the 11th animal to emerge, why should you say that it's messed up? We can see this explanation if we look in the Rashi, four lines from the end of the Rashi commentary. There he says, Yud kokori lei. Yud is ten. Hai kokori lei lav dafka. The expression that is used here, kokori, which means he called it, lav dafka, it doesn't mean specifically that he called it. Now, lekloimar, amai mekukolin, why do you say that there is a mess up? Ho amris de tisha leminyan behemos havi tisha, you said that the ninth to emerge is really the ninth, the asiri havi asiri. The lo chayshinon leminyan shelo, we don't take into consideration what he said. The cave on the lochayshinon, so achadosar shukori asiri, the 11th animal that he happens to call 10, the asiri shuhu korechi, and the 10th that he happened to call 9, amai mikukolin, why is there a mess up? Lehave achados or shlomim, let the 11th animal become a shlomim. The asiri meiser. This is the standard procedure when you happen to call, when he calls a 10, he calls it a 9, and an 11, he calls it 10. This is the rule. But that's based on animals as they emerge. Why then is there a mess up? Omar Loch Rabbi Yochanan, after having asked on the Manda Omar of Minyan Behemos, meaning we were asking on Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana will answer after all. Rav Kahana is coming to explain Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Kahana says that Rabbi Yochanan would tell you, Ki amino ano, when did I say that the number goes according to the number of the animal that actually comes out? Heifi de ichvin la fuke zugo zugos. That's where he had intention to have them come out as pairs. So as in such a case, we had intention to have them come out as pairs. So then Rabbi Yochanan says, minyan, it goes according to the minyan behemos. Hecho denofak memeilo lo. However, where they came out accidentally or on their own without his planning it, so then we take into consideration what he says also. But I, says Rav Kahana, wasn't addressing that case. Toshma. Now, you notice that the volcano form is inverted, so we're going to bring a source that initially will look favorable to the other opinion. The other opinion in this case, this one will look favorable to Rav Kahana, as opposed to the first volcano which we brought in, which appeared to be favorable to Rav Mori. So here we read, Monon lemafreya. If he counts backwards, that means the first animal to come out, he calls 10. The second animal, 9. And that way down the line, till he gets to 1, so that when he says 1, the 10th animal is emerging. And the source says, Asiri Shebeminyon Hu Kadosh. The 10th animal in his counting is going to be sanctified. So Bishlo Leman Domer Leminya Behemusu Kodosh Shapir. The 10th animal in his counting, not his recitation of number 10, but as his active counting is concerned, the 10th animal to emerge will be sanctified. So that's, in fact, the 10th animal to come out. It's true that at that point he's saying Echod, but it's sanctified. So we see they were placing emphasis on not what he says, but the number that has emerged. But according to the opinion of Rav Mori, who says that sanctification is dependent on what he numbers, Asiri, the 10th animal, Chad Korile, he's calling that one. But yet the source says the 10th animal in the counting is sanctified. But this is a problem for Rav Mori, because the 10th animal to come out, which the source says is sanctified, he's calling one. Omar Rava. Rava answers in defense of this shita, in this particular case. He says, Hoyo v'isei b'minyona parso. Since the word that he uses, echod, happens to be in the Persian language a reference to 10, dekoru la'asora chad. The word echad, which we often use translate as one, it happens to be in Persian 10. So therefore, calling an animal, let's say the 10th animal to emerge, and using the word echad, since in Persian it means 10, so it's a legitimate labeling of it as 10. And hence, this does not conflict with the opinion that says we emphasize what he says, because in effect what he is saying is this is the tenth. He just happens to be saying it in Persian. We now continue to Amud Beis, where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Kora lechi asiri ula asiri chi ula chadasor asiri. So here there's a lot of, this is a quote, as you can see, from the case featured in the under the first diamond that was in the Mishnah, where the ninth he calls 10, the tenth he calls 9, and the 11th he calls 10. Tanu Rabbanan. Here we have a Tanaic source that gives a background, gives the sources for the halachas taught in the Mishnah. Minayin she'im kora lechi asiri. From where do we know that if he called the ninth animal 10, ula asiri chi, and the tenth animal 9, ula chadasor asiri, and the 11th animal he calls 10, sheshloshten mekudoshen, that all three gain sanctity, tam lomar, v'chol maaser bokor v'tzoin, kol asheri avor tachas hashevet, ho asiri ye kodesh. So in this pasuk you have words that indicate l'rabois es kulan. There is a reference. There's a lot of we'll say extra words in this pasuk. They serve to enable us to include more than the actual tenth animal in sanctity. Rashi at the very top says v'chol maaser bokor v'tzoin. Mashma bein shekoro hu asiri, bein shehoya asiri leminyan, velo koro asiri. Whether it's something he called asiri, or it's the tenth animal, even if he didn't call it asiri. That's learned from this expression, v'chol maaser bokor v'tzoin, all maaser, all cases of maaser, all cases of tenth, whether it's something that he called ten, or it emerged as the tenth. Continuing, Yochol Shani Marbe Af Shmini Ushnemasar. If you're already into, let's say, an inclusion mode, so do I include the eighth and the twelfth also? Let's say he called the eighth animal 10. Would that also warrant it being treated with Kedusha? Amris, we answer, Hoyo Vahu Kadosh Vitauso Miskadeshes. We're comparing the case of mistake to the tenth animal itself. Mahu eino kodosh ela besomuch. Just like the tenth animal becomes sanctified and it is close to itself. You can't be closer to anything than to yourself. Af ta'uso eino miskadeshish ela besomuch. So too, the issue of mistake, what mistake becomes sanctified? A mistake that is also somuch, next to. So you've got to be, in order to be included in the mistake and gain sanctity, you've got to be next to the original, so to speak, and the original being the tenth animal itself, thereby excluding 8 and 12, which are not next to the original. For Hotanya, have we not learned Mahu Miyuchad Af Ta'uso Miyuchedes? This source would indicate that if he made a mistake regarding 9 and 11, you would not say both are sanctified, only one of them. Miyuchedes meaning one, just like the basic miser is one animal, so that which can be labeled a mistake and also sanctified is only one more. So this is in contrast with what we said, that you can have 9 and 11 both be becoming sanctified in addition to the 10th animal. The Gemara answers, Toni Tano Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. So someone explained in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, Ha Mani, this source is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. This source is in conformity with the teaching of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, which will be featured immediately, and how he gets to his conclusion will be explained by the Gemara. Bisanya, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, Le'olam ein achados or kodosh ad shi yishtok b'chi'i. you cannot have a situation of the 11th animal becoming sanctified unless he remains silent concerning the 9th animal. In other words, the 11th animal will not become sanctified if he called the 9th by the term Asiri. So he will have to have remained silent certainly with regard to mislabeling the 9th. So if he didn't mislabel the 9th, then there's a chance for the 11th to become sanctified. So as it says here, until he remains silent regarding the 9th, meaning no mistake regarding the 9th, Yikra l'asirichi. When he gets to the 10th, he calls it 9, ulachadasor asiri. And then when he gets to the 11th, he calls it 10. Under those circumstances, only will the 11th animal become sanctified. So that's an example of to'os miuchedes. And in other words, in the source that says that the mistake is only one, is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Because once he makes a mistake concerning the 9th, that will lock out the 11th from becoming sanctified. Now, to explain Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's position of saying there's only one more mistake is included, as opposed to two, Savar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar to'os ma'aser t'mura havi, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that we saw in the Mishnah, that a mistake concerning ma'aser is called t'mura, has a t'mura status. V'savar lo k'avua, and in addition, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds like his father, which is Rabbi Shimon, the Omar ein meimer chozur meimar, which means that once something has become t'mura, you can't then make a t'mura from it. So if the mistaken animal is itself called t'mura, you can't produce another t'mura from it. As the Gemara goes on, we see Rava entering the picture, and we also have some new markings. So if we look at the outside margin, you'll notice we have a crown shape, and this will highlight the expression Yotsu Shnayim. This appears a bit later. You'll see another one on the first wide line. Two animals emerge either in the 9th position, that's featured with a double underline, and in the next case, where two emerge, they emerge, as he is saying, 10, in the 10th position. So in the first case, when he is about, after he finished saying counting the 8th animal, two come out when he says 9. So you have the 9th and 10th animal that came out. In the next case, he reached the number 9, and when he was about to say 10, two animals popped out of the passageway, and in effect the 10th and 11th animals came out. We've also highlighted with a diamond what he says. What he says when this happens. So we'll have two cases of what he might be saying when two emerge in the 9th position. And we will feature under the second crown case two things that he might say when two emerge in the 10th position. We continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rava, Yotsu Shnayim B'chi. Two animals emerged as he was about to say 9. Koron Chi, if he referred to them by using the term 9, Asiri V'chulin Mu'raven Ze Baze. The 9th and 10th animals, you in effect have a 9th, which is Chulin. And he's used the term 9. And you have the actual 10th animal to have emerged. The ruling is that 9 and 10, Chulin, and something sanctified are mixed one with the other. And how is there a 10th animal to become sanctified when he referred to it as 9? Asiri me'elov kadosh. And chi'i, chi'i kokori lei. This is the explanation of what just happened. The tenth animal becomes sanctified on its own, even though he called it nine. And the ninth animal he called nine. Hence it's chulin, it's mundane. So you have a situation where you have a chulin and a meiser mixed together. The result of such a situation will be that you cannot eat them, you can't slaughter and eat them unless both develop a blemish. As far as a prohibition, let us say, concerning shearing them or using them, so there is such a prohibition, because one of them might be the meiser animal, and that's prohibited to shear or to work with it. However, if one does it, there won't be lashes because there is a doubt, and one of them might be totally mutter because it's chulin. And we don't give lashes to someone who is in violation of a doubt. Continuing in the Gemara, Koron Asiri, this is again a second case or second pronouncement coming off the case of two came out in the ninth position. So after he said eight, what happened? There are two animals emerged now at that point in time, but Koron Asiri, he called them ten. Asiri Uchi'i Muravin Ze Boze. So we say tenth and ninth are mixed with one another. My Taimo Asiri Kokori Luhu Lutravayu. He referred to both of them using the term Asiri. We should point out the Rabbeinu Gershom on this particular point. You can find the Rabbeinu Gershom concerning this case of Asiri Uchi Muravim Zebozeh by finding the starred section, the Rabbeinu Gershom, the lower part of the page in the inside margin of the Gemara. You can see we've noted Lefikoch Asiri Uchi Muravim Zebozeh. This is different than the case just before where we said that Asiri v'chulin muravin. Here, both are sanctified, because in effect you have a case where you have the ninth animal being called ten. And we've already learned that ninth animals that are called ten gain a level of sanctity. So the Rabbeinu Gershom says, l'fikoch Asiri v'chi muravin zebozeh, v'havluhu travayu kedoshim. Both have sanctity. It's not just a function of I can't identify where the sanctified one is, but in fact both are sanctified, although different levels of sanctity, but both have kedusha. The goal umochar echo mehem loike. If he tries to redeem or sell one of them, which are prohibited when you're dealing with meiser behemo, he will get lashes. The travayu asiri kori lehu. He called them both ten. V'yochlu b'mumon l'baylim. And the way to deal with this, once again, is to wait for blemishes to develop, and then you will be allowed to eat them. But the significant difference between this case and the case before, where he called them chi, and here he calls them asiri, is the issue of if he violates the rules of meiser behema, will there be lashes? In the previous case, we said no, because one of them is chulin, because the ninth and tenth he called nine, so that preserves the category of nine with regard to the nine. I just don't know where it is, but it's chulin. Therefore, we cannot give lashes in such a case. However, in this case where he referred to the ninth along with the tenth as ten, both are sanctified, and if he violates the rules of Meister Bema, he is in definite violation with regard to both animals, and hence there could be lashes given. Continuing in the Gemara, Yotsu Shnayim Vasiri. This is our second crown marking. Two animals emerge in the number 10 position. That means after he had counted individual animals reaching the number 9 and the ninth emerged, two came out of the passageway. Two came out at once. And he called them both 10. The Koron Asiri. He referred to both of them as 10. Asiri v'chadasor mu'ravin zeh bozeh. You have the 10th and 11th mixed with one another. And if you notice the Rashi, where a star appears in the Rashi to make it easier to find where this is quoted, and you'll notice it's in the upper half of the Rashi commentary. Asir v'chadasor mu'ravin, klomar, meiser gomor v'chadasor kodosh. You have a real meiser animal and an 11th animal that's sanctified, havin mu'ravin bi'achad. They are mixed together. And this is because the 11th animal, which when it gains sanctity under these circumstances, gains a shlomim status. Both can be offered, and will be eaten with each one's respective restrictions or stringencies. You'll have to do two blood sprinklings, which is uncharacteristic of a Meiser Beim, which usually has only one, but since it might be the Shlomim, I don't know, we do two. The Haromas Chozer V'Shok, and the separation of the Chozer V'Shok sections of the animal, which is characteristic of a Shlomim, Kemo Shlomim. So you'll have these two stringencies that will apply to each one of the animals. Continuing in the examples, Koron Achadosar, two animals emerged in the 10th position, but he called them 11. Asiri v'chulin mu'ravin ze bozeh. In such a case, the actual 11th animal emerged, and he happened to call it 11. So that's chulin, that's a mundane thing. However, there's also the fact the 10th animal came out, 10th animal gains its sanctity on its own. So you have, in effect, a case similar to what we had before when we said Asiri v'chulin mu'ravin, when he called them both 9. Here, when he calls them both 11, the same thing results, in the sense of you have the Asiri and chulin mixed together. The Gemara now asks, Ha su lomali, hainu hach. After you told us the halacha with regard to two emerging in the ninth position, and we just pointed out that if two emerged in the ninth position and he called them 9, we said Asiri and Chulin are Mu'uravin. When two emerged in the 10th position and he called them 11, we see the same thing. We see Asiri v'chulin mu'ravin zeh bozeh. So what is the necessity of teaching both of these cases when one would follow from the other? You'd be able to figure out, have they taught only one example, they figure out the other. So the Gemara answers, Ho komash molon, the chol bevas achas, when two emerge, travayu ko kachi, both gain sanctity, the afalgav deloi nekar shame asiri hemenu. Even though the term 10 was not uprooted from it, what do we mean? If you have the two coming out, and he calls them 10, you didn't uproot the name 10 from the 10th. But even so, the other animal gains sanctity. What we would like to do is look in the Rashi. First we'll look at Rashi, Divar Masla, Ha Su Lomali. Kevon Dashmi'inen, since you told me, Diotsu Shnei Bechi V'Koron Asiri, where two emerge in the ninth position, he calls them 10. Memelo yadana dechi hahu dino iko biyotsu shnei basiri. I would know the same thing where two emerged in the 10th position. So the next Rashi, bebas achas, We said that if we're, the chiddush here is when they come out together. The koros shema siri la siri ulachadasor bebasachas. He called the 10th and 11th animals at the same time 10. Afagav the lo nekra, even though there's no uprooting of the shem asiri from the 10th. Dol asiri nami kor asiri. He's calling the 10th 10. So that by teaching these two cases, we see that in all cases where two emerge, and he calls the 10th using the term 10, even though there's no uprooting of the shame asiri from the 10th, the other one becomes kadosh as well. Exactly what type of kadosh it has, they happen to be different in each case, but they both become sanctified. And the emphasis, just once again, is sanctification takes place even though there has not been an uprooting of the shame asiri. Well, that in mind, we continue in the Gemara. Yosef Rav Kahana v'Ka'omar Lei Loha Shmaitza. Rav Kahana was sitting and saying over this teaching. He was saying it, as we'll see in a second, in the presence of Rav Ashi. Omar Lei Rav Ashi. You'll see with our markings a triangle appears. This is explained under our Mivneh heading, and the outside margin is Ma'akav, a means of keeping track of the back and forth, the give and take of this particular section, so that when the triangle point faces up, this represents kushya, kushyos, questions, with the point facing down, tshuvos, responses. So we're able to keep track of the back and forth nature by navigating with these markings. So Rav Ashi introduces a question. Omar Lei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi asks, how can you say that that both become sanctified, v'halo loy nekar shem asiri himenu, if you didn't uproot the term ten from the tenth animal? In other words, you called the tenth, how can the other one be sanctified? Utnan, we have learned on Daf Samach Amud Aleph at the end of the Mishnah, Zeh haklal, kol shaloi nekar shem asiri himenu, as long as the label of 10th was not uprooted from it, Ein achadasar mekudosh, the 11th does not become sanctified. So in the examples we just saw, we saw two coming out in the 10th position, and he called them both 10. How can you say that achadasar, that asiv achadasar muravin, when, and as we explained before, when we saw the Rashi, we explained that that meant that the 11th had a shlomim sanctity. We just don't know which one is which. Why should the 11th have any sanctity whatsoever? You didn't uproot the name 10 from the 10th. You call them both 10. So the Gemara answers. In other words, this would be Rav Kahana answering, Hani Mili, when is it that we require Akira, Bozeh, Acharzeh? That's when they're coming out in single file, one after the other. Avol bevas achas travayu kokachi. But where they came out together, and he called the number, he called the 10th and 11th animals 10, so they both gain sanctity. So Rav Kahana's answer, in effect, is to say that the case of the Mishnah is different than the case that we are talking about. The Gemara asks, in other words, because Rav Ashi asks back, as far as that case is concerned, Behedya Katani law, that has an explicit reference, and which we'll see in a second, and hence the source that I was quoting in my question is not referring to the case of Zeh Achar Zeh when that's covered by a separate section. Well, where do you see Zeh Achar Zeh referred to explicitly? Here it is. It's from our Mishnah. This isn't all in a frame. Korolachi Asiri, Ulasiri Asiri, Ulachadosor Asiri. That's a case of lack of Akira's shame, where he called the ninth number 10, he called the 10th number 10, he called the 11th number 10. Ein Achadosor Mekudosh. The 11th one doesn't gain sanctity, because of the fact that you didn't have an Akira's shame. Zehaklal Asuyemai, the earlier phrase, or the earlier quoted phrase here of Zehaklal, what is it including? It's not including the case of emerging as single units. That was explicitly referred to. So what do I need the Zehaklal for? What is it coming to include? Lav Lasuye Bevasachas, isn't it coming to, in fact, include the case where two emerge at once, and still we see that the 11th is not Kadosh. So, again, we reinstate the question on Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana was citing a case where two emerged at once in the 10th position, and he called them 10, and he said that the 11th does get sanctity, when the Mishnah would seem to say otherwise. Loy, you can see a response, the triangle is inverted. If you're trying to challenge me, says Rav Kahana, based on the section called Zehaklal, that has a different role. That's la'asuye, to include yotso asiri velo diber. That's where, after saying 9, a 10th animal exited. He didn't say anything. The hal lo nek ashem asiri hemenu. In such a case, where he kept quiet about the 10th, there wasn't any uprooting of the name 10, so then we'll say that the 11th does not become a kudosh. In such a case where the 10th came out and he didn't say anything, it automatically becomes the Meiser Behema, and the next one remains Chulin. However, the case of Bas Achas, that is a separate issue. So that we have these two Tanaic quotations. You have the quote of Zehaklal, etc., and then you have the enumeration case where they emerge as separate units, and he speaks regarding each one. So the two Tanaic references are both cases of animals emerging from the passageway individually. My case of two coming out at once was not addressed, and hence in my case where two came out at once, both can gain sanctity. We have a very important marking here. You can see a bracket begins, and we have a bracket length indicator. If you just glance at the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical descending dash dotted line, and at the end of that, you'll notice the brackets closes. The role of these brackets, for those who are veterans of Gemara markings, will note that these brackets, after we glance at our note, don't have the more common skipping value, but rather, let's now glance at the note we have on the side where the little star is. Ein sograyim elu l'shem dilug. These brackets are not for skipping purposes. Elo laharois she'ad kan royim shrav kan ono lehatkofas ravashi. Up till this point in the Gemara, we see Rav Kahana having rebuffed Rav Ashi's attack. So that as far as the back and forth between Rav Ashi and Rav Kahana that we illustrated with our triangles, we started off with a triangle pointing up, back and forth discussion. The last triangle you saw was pointing downwards. That indicates that Rav Kahana answered Rav Ashi's attack. Betocha sograyim, within the bracketed section, yesh nisayon levases es chuvasoi beoimroi deilo temahochi. There is an attempt to support Rav Kahana's response with the section of Gemara beginning with the words deilo temahochi, meaning if you don't say like I am saying, then there is a problem that seems to arise. So, in the brackets, Rav Kahana is attempting to support his answer. Avo behemshich bisus ze nidche. But as we go on in the Gemara, we'll see that this attempt to support his answer gets rejected. But we have to be very careful here. In effect, what we're doing is we're rejecting the attempt to bring a support to the answer. But it doesn't necessarily mean, from the overall Gemara standpoint, that Rav Kahana himself is rejected. All that happens here is that the attempt he brings to support, that's brought to support his position, that support attempt is weak. But it's, once again, Rav Kahana closes this particular particular his own standpoint is one where he answered Rav Ashi's attack. Now, with all of that background in mind, we start this section in the brackets. De'i lo teima hochi. If you don't say thusly, that when they that we call basachas kodesh, where the two emerged at once, two animals emerged in the number 10 position, and he called them 10, that we say both the 10th and 11th animals are holy. So if you don't say like this, ha desanya, the following Tanaic quote, yotsu shnayim basiri, two emerged in the 10th position. In other words, after counting nine individual animals, two now emerged at the number 10 point, v'lo kidam echod mehem es chavero, neither one came out before the other, neither one emerged before the other, v'koron asiri, and he called them both 10, asiri v'chadasar mu'rovim, they are both sanctified. Ravim means they're mixed together, and both have sanctity. That's Ravim ze bozeh. Well, you can ask, v'halo lo nek ha-shem asiri hemenu. There was no uprooting of the label of tenth from the tenth animal. Elolav, rather, it must be that that doesn't bother us, or that doesn't affect the Kedusha from setting upon this. Elolav mishum damrinon. It must be that we say, kol b'basachas travayu kokachi, where both emerge at once, both become sanctified. At this point in the Gemara, to aid in the keep track of the back and forth, we introduce a volcano shape. You can see on the outside margin, this is explained under our Mivneh heading. This is the Ma'akav, the attempt to keep track, with the narrow point, the narrow part of this geometric form facing upwards. It's a Nisayon Lidchois Hasiwa, with the narrow part facing down. This is a response. We can call this a teguva, a response to this attempt. So this is also a back and forth type discussion in the Gemara. But noting with the narrow part facing upwards, we would be in a rejection mode, rejecting the attempted support. So the Gemara continues, E mishum ha lo iria. If this is brought as your support, the most recent Tanaic source, in the source in which we squiggle on the line, v'lo kidam, if that is supposed to be Rav Kahana's support, well, it's not a solid support. That's E mishum ha lo iria. It's not a solid support. Hacha b'maya skinon. The case featured in this Tanaic source, in fact, is dekodim chad minayu, v'apik l'reishei, v'kar ye achad osar. That as they were emerging from the narrow passageway, one of these two animals stuck its head out first. And as its head emerged, the owner called it 11. At that point, there is an uprooting of the name. For Hodr Aruf, and then they got mixed up. Venofuk, it withdrew its head, and then they Venofuk Behadodi. It after it withdrew its head, they then came out together for Karinu Asiri. And at that point he called them both 10. Oh. And then we say both become Kadosh. Tohonekar Shem Asiri Hemenu. So this explanation shows us that the source involved an Akiras Shem. How did the Akiras Shem take place? Because one of them stuck its head out before the other. The Gemara asks, how can you reject our support with that explanation? V'lo kidam kotoni. But in the source it says there was no firstness. You notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This enables you to find where v'lo kidam appeared earlier by aligning this with the previous arrow. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice with our markings, we're now reinstating the challenge mode or the rejection mode. My lo kidam. What does lo kidam mean? It's not to the exclusion of one sticking its head out before the other. No, that did happen. But what does lo kidam mean? The hodar i'aruv. They got mixed up again before they actually emerged. So that upon their full emerging, at that point, one didn't come out before the other. However, there was a preceding head emergence. So at this point in the Gemara, we're holding with a rejection of what Rav Kahana thought was going to support his position. And in other words, Rav Kahana still maintains his, he might very well still maintain his position that when two come out at once, you don't have to have Akiras Shem Kedusha. But if you want to base it on this source, that he can't necessarily do. The Gemara goes on, Ukeman. This question is, by calling them 11, when you call an animal 11, we just explained here that one of them stuck its head out. You had an animal that was about to emerge in the number 10 position. And one stuck its head out, and he called it 11. We want to know right now, according to whom is calling an animal 11 considered an Akira? The Gemara says that is the lo kerebi. The truth is that this line might very well be read as a question. And you would read it, Ukeman, Dolo Kerebi. Are you suggesting that this is not like Rebbe? And at the end of the line, you can see the Gemara says, Afilu Temo Rebbe. No, the Gemara says, you can say that this is in accordance with Rebbe. So that at this point, the Gemara is attempting to say that a reference to an animal as 11 is considered an Akira. The Gemara feels is, well, are you saying the lo kerebi, de rebi? If this were in accordance with Rebbe, ho omar, Rebbe has been known to say, achadasor lo havi akira, calling something 11 is not an akira. The Gemara answers, afilu temo rebi, calling something 11 could be an akira. Even according to Rebbe. Ki Omar Rebbe, when did Rebbe say that calling something 11 is not an uprooting? Hecha de is le behemois tuva. That's where you're dealing with a person that has large numbers of animals. The Aminon, because we say, when he said achadosar, it really, the owner's intention is to say chad isuro ka Omar. This is one group of 10. It's the first group of 10. So that if you have a situation where after saying he was counting 1, 2, 3, and he got to 9, and the next thing he said was achadosar, it really means one osar, one group of 10, and not 11. However, hocha, the les le behemos tvei, here, in the case that we were explaining before, where an 11th animal popped its head out, or I should say the 10th animal popped its head out before the other one, and he called it Achadosar, that is a real Akira, because you can't say he's referring to it as the first group of 10, when he has no subsequent groups of 10. We have been citing Rebbe in the last couple of lines. The Gemara here asks, my Rebbe, what's the source in which Rebbe said his point? The Sanyo, you have the following Tanaic source, Korol Asiri Achadosar. He called the 10th animal using the term Achadosar.
Ulachadasor Asiri, and the 11th he called 10. Ein Achadasor Kodosh, Divrei Rebbe. The Achadasor, the 11th, doesn't gain sanctity. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achadasor Kodosh, the 11th animal, is sanctified. Klal Omar Rebbe, Kolzman Shalonek Hashem Asiri Hemenu, as long as the label of 10th wasn't uprooted from it, Ein Achadasor Kodosh. So in this case that's featured in the Tanaic source, where he called the 10th 11, as we explained before, this man has many groups of animals, and the 10th to emerge that he describes as a Achadasor simply means this is now one group of 10. So at that point he wasn't uprooting the Shem Asiri from it. And once again, why is that? Because we have an alternative, realistic explanation for his use of the term Achadasor other than 11. And with that, he wasn't uprooting the Shem Asiri. But this explanation of Achadasor not being an uproot is tenable only if he has multiple groups of animals, a minimum of 20 animals or more, where he can say, this is my first group of 10. However, if he has just a few more animals than 10, he has 12, he has 14 animals, when he says Achadasor, there it would be an uprooting of the Shem Asiri from it, and hence that would give room for the actual 11th animal to also become sanctified. We have to go over this Gemara just for the sake of accuracy, because we're guilty of having over-explained this last section. So let's go back over the Tanaic source, starting with the Gemara that said, "My Rebbe." Where is Rebbe's position featured? Desanyo, Korol Asiri Achadosor, Ulachadosor Asiri, Ein Echod Me Ein Achadosor Kodosh, Divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achadosor Kodosh, the 11th is sanctified. Klal Omar Rebbe, Rebbe says a rule, Kolzman Shaloi Nekar Shem Asiri Hemenu, Ein Achadosor Kodosh. So the Gemara asks, Vahalo Nekar, why are you giving me this rule that says as long as the 10th name, the name 10, hasn't been uprooted, so the 11th doesn't become Kadosh. But in this case, it said at the beginning of this source, Korol Asiri Achadosor, he called the 10th Achadosor, he did uproot the name. Why, if he did uproot the name, does Rebbe rule in the Reisha and say Ein Achadosor Kadosh? But according to his rule, if there was an uprooting of the name 10, 11 does become Kadosh. Omar Rava, Hocha B'mayaskinon, Rava explains, like we explained earlier, the case here that he called Asiri Achadasor is Kigon de Isle Behemos Tuva. This man had lots and lots of animals, many groups of 10. The Amrinon, and we say, Chad Isuro Ka'omar. This is the first group of 10. Hence, that's not an uprooting of the name Asiri. And just to review, as we said before, if he didn't have many groups of 10, he had just had one basic group of 10 and then a couple more animals, if he referred to the 10th animal as Achadasor, that is an uprooting. And hence, as we saw earlier, the source that indicated thusly could conform to Rebbe as well. You can see here that the brackets closes, and the next piece of Gemara is a new discussion. Hence, as we said earlier, these brackets were not designed for skipping purposes, but simply to isolate this section of Gemara, showing us that prior to this, when Rav Ashi and Rav Kahana were having it out with each other, Rav Kahana ended off with his answer, and as far as attempting to support the answer from the source of Velo Kidam, that isn't necessarily a solid source of support because of this possible alternative explanation for it. However, that doesn't necessarily undo Rav Kahana's position. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.